is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week we will begin a new series, The New Covenant is Alive. The Old Covenant is Dead and Gone. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Carrie Underwood with Jesus Take the Wheel, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was standing on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the
Jesus, take the wheel. We're going to have another great program today. I say it's great because it comes from the Word of God, the new covenant. It's alive. And the old covenant, it's dead and gone. Think about that, my friends. The new covenant is alive. And the old covenant is dead and gone. Have you ever got anything new in your life? A new dress? New haircut? I'll tell you, I don't know, a new pair of shoes? I bet you were glad when you got something new. Well, think about having a new life, a new covenant. Now, we're not just talking about a covenant, a set of old laws. We're talking about a covenant that will save you eternally. It means everything to you. It means new life. It means life forever. It means no sickness. You're going to be in great health, prosperous, happy, contented, forever. Now that's what, who can complain about that? The new covenant. But there's an old covenant. You know, when I was a kid, you know, we didn't buy many pairs of shoes. We were pretty poor. We just had one pair of shoes at a time. And the old pair got quite old. What leather was on them, you know, was just worn off, even though we tried to shine it. And sometimes the shoes were too small for our feet. We had grown over the previous year or so. We couldn't even get them on. They hurt our feet. When we walked, they actually hurt us. We were really ready for a new pair of shoes. And so, think about it. Now, in the Old Testament, there's an old covenant. It was all right for its time. It was a shadow of things to come. But it was only a shadow. It wasn't the real thing. It was just a shadow. You know, there's a kid down my block. I saw him out with his dad, and he was riding a bicycle. He was a little tight. He's about 3 years old, I guess. And he had wheels on the back. They had three wheels on the back and one wheel in the front. In other words, he had these training wheels. I think they call them training wheels. He was just going to town, though, riding that bicycle on those training wheels. And his dad said to him, now we're going to take off these wheels, these training wheels, and let you really ride the bicycle. Oh, the kid was really excited then. And his dad took off those training wheels and said, okay, now you ride the real bicycle. And you know, he was sort of imperfect his first couple of times. He fell over. But then he got going. Oh, he got on that bicycle. He got going. He was so happy with himself. I can ride the bicycle. I'm not on the beginner's. I'm not on that tricycle anymore. He can really ride it. I guess there are a lot of things in life like that. Maybe when you were driving a car. You know, at first you had to have somebody in the car with you, didn't you? I know I did. Several times you'd have to have somebody in the car with you. You'd go off the road and run into the ditch or whatever if you didn't. Had to have a guide. Had to have somebody was there with you, showing you the way, showing you how to drive. But eventually you got more skilled. You know, you were just an apprentice at first, but then you became more expert. And you began to drive on your own, and you were really happy about it. I remember I would just take the car out for a drive. I was happy just to be driving. I would go anywhere. I'd go up to the local little convenience store and buy me a Coke just to say I drove the car by myself. That's sort of like the old covenant and the new covenant. When the new covenant came, and it replaced the old covenant. Yes, it did. It means everything. Now you can fly. Now, I feel like that. I feel so high and mighty, and I'm flying. I'm flying with Jesus Christ in my heart. Because he came and he was the new covenant. A lot of people don't know what the word covenant means. A covenant is a promise somebody gives you. We have covenants in our neighborhoods. It means everybody agrees together to do a certain thing. And they put it in writing. It's put down in writing and, you know, you get him go take it to court, I suppose. I know here in Austin, we've been having a drought. And they passed an ordinance that said you can't clean your car. A lot of dirty cars out there running around because they can't use the water hose to wash off their car. They have an ordinance made against that. Don't wash your car. It's a covenant. People make it up amongst themselves and say, we're going to obey that. We're going to obey it because it's for our own good. Now, when Jesus came, he gave us a new covenant. Well, why didn't he just confirm the old? Aha. Why didn't he say, I like the old covenant? I mean, you know, the covenant of Abraham and Moses and such. What was wrong with that covenant? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. It was a promise of Jesus. Now, I want you to understand that difference. The old covenant, the first covenant, was okay. It helped men to sort of a guide for them, a shadow of something wonderful to come. But when the thing that was to come, the future thing, came, they didn't need the old covenant. The kid didn't need his training wheels anymore. You don't need a driver in the car with you. You can drive on your own. You got Jesus in your heart now. You didn't have Jesus before. Now you got Jesus in your heart. There's a song, I think, sung by Underwood. What's her name now? Carrie Underwood. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcast engineer here. Carrie Underwood's a beautiful song. Jesus, take the wheel. Boy, when life is going some way you didn't want it to go, or some way you just need help. You just cry out, Jesus, take the wheel. I like that song. I like that song a lot. You know, I was at a church one day. The pastor was up preaching, and he was saying, if you want Jesus in your heart, ask him and pray for him today to come in your heart. And somebody in the back of the church, he said, all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. But there was a man in the back of the church, and he I heard him cry out. He said, Lord, I believe. Please help my unbelief. Please help my unbelief. Did you know that if you don't have enough faith, you can ask and God will give it to you? Now, the Jews had a covenant. It was an old covenant. It was flawed. It was flawed. That's not my word. That's the King James word. It was flawed. And Jesus came, and he was the better covenant. Now, all these Baptists and Assemblies of God and Pentecost, all these people don't understand the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant. The old covenant was based on Jesus, what was to come, but was not Jesus. But the new covenant is Jesus. So many people tell me, well, the Jews have their old covenant. It's good enough. No, it's not good enough. Jesus came. He was the new covenant. He is the new covenant. You can't go back to the old covenant. If you've already learned to drive and you're an excellent driver, you don't go to driver school to learn how to drive, do you? The little boy who had three wheels in the back, he had training wheels. After he's been riding a bicycle, let's say he's become, you know, a champion bicycle rider. He rides hundreds of miles a week. He wins medals, going off to France to the French, whatever, they have the bicycle. He doesn't go back, put a training wheels on his bike. He's gone past that. If you've got Jesus in your heart, you've got it all, my friends. Why would you want to give them? So I'm going to go back. I'm going to take the training wheels version. I'm going to take the beginner's version. I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to learn anew. What? Well, that's okay. You can go back. But believe me, you can never see Jesus again. I'm telling you right now. If you reject the new covenant, I didn't say now that you didn't sin. Everybody sins. There's none righteous. We all have to ask forgiveness. You can be forgiven if you sin. But if you say, I don't want the new covenant, I don't want what Jesus had, I don't want that cross, then you can't go back again and get it. I can prove that in the Bible. Now, let's look at the Bible, because this this problem here, this thing with the new covenant, is so misunderstood, and I don't know why it is. It's so glorious. It's like a light shining. How you don't want to go back into darkness. The old covenant is darkness. It's darkness. No. Go forward into the light with the new covenant. Now, turn with me to Hebrews in the Bible. Hebrews. Now, in chapter 7 of Hebrews, it talks about Abraham meeting up with a high priest. He did. He met with a high priest. And he learned of Jesus. And he testified, "Thou art a priest," is verse 17, "thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Verse 16, it says, "Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life." Now, which is stronger? Which is more durable? Which is more lasting? Which is more powerful? A commandment? A carnal commandment? Or the power of an endless life? Jesus had an endless life. Endless. He was there at the beginning. And he'll be forevermore with God. He was with God from the beginning and was God. Verse 19 says, of chapter 7 of Hebrews says, "For the law," that's what the covenant is based on, "the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." Now think about that. The law made nothing perfect. Jews cannot be perfect. The law cannot make them perfect. You remember the young ruler that came to Jesus and said, "I followed the law since I was a young man. I've obeyed all the laws." And Jesus says, "Yes, but you lack one thing. You lack just one thing." I suspect he was not lying. He was a good man. He had obeyed all the laws, he said, but that did not make him perfect. There was one thing he lacked. There will always be one thing you lack. If you're a Jew and you don't have Jesus, you lack one thing. Well, wait just a minute. I've obeyed the laws. I've learned the Talmud. I've studied the Kabbalah for years. I'm one of the greatest rabbis of all time. There's something that you're lacking, my friend. Let me tell you what you're lacking. You're lacking a love of Jesus. Jesus told the young ruler, he was very rich. He said, "Take everything you've got, sell it. Give it to the poor and come, follow me." He was invited. It was a great invitation. He should have accepted it. He should have given everything he wanted. He should have immediately said, "Come and take it. You can have it. I have found the one thing, the pearl of great price." That's what he should have done. But he went away very unhappy. Very unhappy. You see, he was very rich. But he was not made perfect. For the law, it says in verse 19 of chapter 7 of Hebrews, the law makes nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did. What's a better hope? You obey the law. You obey the old covenant. You believe in the old covenant, but you're still not perfect. What do you need? You need hope. Hope. Spell J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Hope. The hope of glory. The glory. You need the glory, my friends. By the which we draw nigh unto God. That's how you draw close to God. Through the hope that Jesus Christ gives you. Verse 22 says, "By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament." That testament is a covenant. A testament is a covenant. Verse 24 says, "This man," Jesus that is, "because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them." Think about that. He's a forever person. He's been there forever. He is forever. He's unchanging. He will always do what is expected because it's right. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He's not going to take a day off. He's not going to take a vacation. You can call out to him. You can reach you. You can get on your knees right now and he'll listen to you. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. If you come unto God by Jesus, he will save you. He is able to do it. Why? Because he's a forever person. He has an unending life, the Bible says. Verse 26 says, for such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus is higher than the heavens. Undefiled, holy, harmless, separate from sinners. 27, who needeth not daily, he doesn't need it, he doesn't need this, as those high priests to offer up sacrifice. The high priests go in the temple, they offered up sacrifice. Jesus didn't. He didn't make sacrifice. He was God. What can he make sacrifice to? He was the highest. He was higher than the heavens. It says, for this he did once when he offered up himself. He did sacrifice then. One time. He sacrificed. What did he sacrifice? Himself on the cross. And you know what? When God sacrifices himself, it's good for all time. He's unchanging, unending. For this he did once when he offered up himself, it says. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. Men have infirmities. They have sins. One man may be tempted because he gets mad all the time. He needs to curb that temper. Another man sees a woman and goes, oh my goodness. Another woman is jealous. She has envy. All of us are tempted. All of us sometimes yield to these terrible things. We have to seek forgiveness. Priests have infirmity. They're not perfect. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Chapter 8 says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You can't set up a tabernacle like this. You can't build a temple like this.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.